This week on Potlatch, Edward Hobson and Eben Hobson testify on D2 Lands.
There's a husky, dusty maiden in the Arctic. In her igloo, she's waiting there in vain. Oh, I guess I'll put my muffler on and ask her if she'll wed me when the icewarms nest again. In the land of the tales of snow, where it's 99 below, and the polar bears are roaming o'er the plain. In the shadow of the pole, pile a plaster to my soul, we'll be happy when the icewarms nest again. Oh, the wedding feast will be seen wall and blubber. In our kayak we'll roam the boundless main. All the walruses will turn their heads and rubber. We'll be happy when the icewarms nest again. In the land of the pale blue snow, where it's 99 below, and the polar bears are roaming o'er the plain. In the shadow of the pole, pile a plaster to my soul, we'll be happy when the icewarms nest again. When all the blinking night birds bound around us, she'll present me with a bouncing baby boy. And the polar bears will dance the rumble around us, and the walruses will click their teeth in joy. In the land of the pale blue snow, where it's 99 below, and the polar bears are roaming o'er the plain. In the shadow of the pole, pile a plaster to my soul, we'll be happy when the icewarms nest again. We'll be happy when the icewarms nest again.
The Yukon Star is a Canadian group. This program is the second of a series on testimony by Native leaders on D2 lands in Alaska. In Section 17D2 of the Settlement Act, the Secretary of the Interior is directed to withdraw up to 80 million acres of land in Alaska. This land will be set aside for national parks, forests, wildlife refuges, and wild and scenic rivers. For the past several months, a subcommittee headed by Ohio Democratic Congressman John Seiberling has been hearing testimony from Alaskans. On August 20th, the Seiberling Committee reached Fairbanks and heard this.
Mr. Chairman, I am Edward E. Hobson, President of Arctic Slope Regional Corporation. The 4,000 Arctic Slope Regional Corporation shareholders greatly appreciate this opportunity for their representatives to appear before the committee, subcommittee, to express our views on pending bills which would designate certain lands in Alaska as units of so-called four systems: national parks, national wildlife refuges, national forest, and wild and scenic rivers. Appearing with me today are Jacob Adams, Vice President in our land department, and Oliver Levitt, the Treasurer of the corporation. While Arctic Slope Regional Corporation does not endorse any particular bills at this time, we fully support the designation of lands of major national significance in Alaska as units of the four national systems. Of the many proposals for new units to the four systems, the proposed Gates of the Arctic National Park is the most important to Arctic Slope Regional Corporation and Nunavut Corporation, the Village Corporation at Anaktuvuk Pass. Since 1973, ASRC has consistently supported the establishment of the national park in the Central Brooks Range. But the area is very important to the Inupiat people who reside at Anaktuvuk Pass within the heart of the proposed park. With respect to H.R. 39, ASRC has three specific concerns, two of a general nature on, number one, subsistence protection, and two, utility and transportation corridor, and the third, dealing with a crucial, important area of land ASRC has identified for selection, but which also has been recommended for inclusion in the proposed case of the Arctic National Park. Although the Settlement Act extinguished Native Aboriginal hunting fishing rights, Congress in 1971 made it clear that the Secretary of Interior should exercise his existing withdrawal authority to classify public lands in the manner which would protect Native subsistence needs and requirements. This has not happened despite the fact that the overwhelming majority of Native people continue to hunt, fish and trap for their subsistence. In the Arctic, Inupiaq people's meat diet is still almost exclusively caribou, whale, and seal. Making provisions for subsistence protection in the D2 legislation, therefore, is important to the Inupiaq people who are shareholders of Arctic Slope Regional Corporation. H.R. 39 and some of the other pending legislation to implement Section 17D2 of the Settlement Act do not designate or provide a means for the establishment corridor for the future for the transportation of oil, gas, and other minerals discovered on Native, federal, and state lands to market. ASRC not only has been concerned about the impact of restricted access on its own possibilities for future developmental activity, but because of the projected exploration and development of the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska, we have also brought the petroleum of adequate transportation corridors to the attention of federal officials in the Interior and Energy Department. Attached to my statement is a paper entitled Crucial Land Status Decisions in the Arctic, Alaska, which ASRC have prepared and recently submitted to these officials. I respectfully ask that this paper be incorporated with my statement and made part of the hearing record. I have summarized ASRC's views on establishment of the gates of the Arctic National Park and our general concerns about subsistence protection and utility transportation corridors. I would like to address an issue that is of critical importance not only to ASRC and its stock shareholders, but to all Alaska Natives. For countless years, our people used, occupied, and exercised dominion over the entire 56 million acres of Arctic slope. The approach of Western civilization came with the explorers, whalers, and missionaries of the 19th century. Yet it has not until 1923 that our land was first impacted by outsiders. That year, President Harding set aside 23 million acres on the Arctic slope as Naval Petroleum Reserve No. 4. Which led to extensive exploration activities during and after World War II. In 1958, Alaska joined the Union, and a few short years later made land selections of about 6 million acres along the Arctic seacoast, which contained the enormous Prudhoe Bay oil reserve discovered in 1968, when Secretary Morton made his final recommendations to Congress under Section 17D2, the lands in the Killick River watershed was withdrawn both for Native selection and for possible inclusion in the case of the Arctic National Park. If Congress permits the terms of the Settlement Act to prevail in spirit and in law, and does not include the Killick River area within the proposed park, the lands which ASRC has identified for selection in the Killick River watershed would be conveyed to us. Of all the lands selected by ASRC, within the two remaining large blocks outside of state land and federal reserve, the Killick area appears to have by far the best chance of providing a substantial economic return to ASRC and to the other native people of Alaska. It is important also for the subcommittee to recall that because of Section 7I, all Alaska Natives would share in any revenues received from developmental activities. ARC would retain slightly over 30% of any net revenues, while the other 11 regions corporations would receive nearly 70%. To deny the Native people of Alaska that opportunity would be to frustrate and violate one of the fundamental promises Congress made to the Native in 1971 when it settled their Aboriginal land rights. The Natives would be entitled to receive lands of significant economic potential. The subcommittee must make the initial choice between establishing a national park in the Killick area or allow lands ASRC has identified for selection to be conveyed to us. We are hopeful that the 96th Congress will honor the promise and intent of the 92nd Congress. Mr. Chairman, I want to again express our thanks for allowing ASRC to contribute to the subcommittee deliberations on D2 legislation. And for the record, I would like to submit copies of ASRC's written testimony regarding D2 legislation. Thank you.
That was Fred Lewis and Ella Thompson of the Nootka Tribe in British Columbia. Their recording, thanks to Folkways Records. Now, North Slope Borough Mayor Eben Hobson's testimony.
Your effort in coming this far north to hold hearings and fly over the land as our land has signaled us that we are now able to at last get down to business about implementation of 17D2. And it is time to speak publicly about D2 concept that we have developed at the North Slope Borough. Mr. Chairman, we have no problems with quantities of land to be classified. Our problems with the legislation under consideration are based upon the lack of regional planning reflected in them. Our plea is for regional D2 land use planning. We want to see the government implement and manage 17D2 lands and other federal lands within the North Slope Borough on a regional basis within the context of the National Arctic Environmental Policy. We feel that none of the legislation expresses the kind of cohesive, interconnecting, and sustaining Arctic policy that should flow through all legislation touching upon the land and the people of the Arctic. The North Slope Borough is a regional home rule municipal government covering an area of 56 million acres. Ours is a distinct physical, social, and economic region of the state of Alaska and the sub-region of our North American Arctic regional community that we Inupiat share with our people of the Northwest Territories and Greenland. We share basically a common Arctic regional and sub-regional view of the rest of the world, and we feel that the position we take in D2 negotiation is important to the Circumpolar Land Claims Movement. Through incompatible land classifications, the U.S. government could effectively cancel much of the equity of the Alaska Claim Settlement Act. We feel that only through sound regional planning can this be avoided. The only thing we seek is the protection of the traditional uses of our land. The Arctic Slope has a stable, permanent community population consisting mostly of Inupiat. Our villages have been provided lands by the claim settlement for any conceivable community expansion. Our borough is a strong regional home rule government. Our regional language and culture, our very society and identity, all that we are is expressed in our ability to subsist on our land. Anything that tampers with our subsistence ability threatens our ability to continue living in the Arctic. While Arctic resource development is bringing a lot of cash into our communities, money is not of much real value in terms of Arctic survival. We don't need money to survive in the Arctic. We cannot depend upon the things that money can buy for our ability to live in the Arctic. Subsistence is the only economics in the Arctic in which we can entrust the security of our families and communities. Our experience to date has led us to believe that Arctic resource development can be managed to avoid conflict with the subsistence value of our land, but more care is going to have to be given to subsistence resources management. More than anything else, home rule for us means that right to manage our land and resources. The kind of management needed to protect subsistence values of our land while accommodating resource development is expensive. But tax money spent for this kind of management should be seen as a good investment in the Arctic. But it is important that this investment be made in careful cooperation between the federal government and our Inupiat community with the Canadian government. Mr. Chairman, checkerboarding the North Slope with classifications which ignore these basic factors will threaten to destroy us and will not demonstrate the care that needs to be taken. The borough's Prudhoe tax revenue has allowed us to begin the first attempt to bring modern housing and public utilities and adequate schools to our villages. Living standards are beginning to be comfortable, if modest, in comparison with the average American community. Our regional corporation is doing good business. Being realists, we know the Arctic resource exploitation is inevitable in every Arctic nation. We want to know as quickly as we can the true economic value of all the Arctic natural resources so that we can begin now to plan their safe removal without disturbing the greatest economic value of our land, which is subsistence. We know that our lands contain large deposits of coal, and we know that we will soon be reluctantly involved in negotiating the terms of its removal someday. We have reserves of phosphate and other minerals, but I'm of the opinion that there will be very little economic mineral development in the Arctic Slope. American technology has a way of overcoming needs of resources so hard to come by that they must be mined in the Arctic. Land jurisdictional boundaries represented on maps of our Arctic Slope regions are meaningless in terms of subsistence use. They do not imply the care that must be taken. Existing and proposed wildlife refuges provide no real sanctuary for the caribou, nor do they effectively contribute to his management. What about the land and game beyond the boundaries of the refuge? We feel that our entire region is just as valuable to us to use as the Arctic Wildlife Refuge and in need of the same care received within the refuge. Mr. Chairman, the North Slope Borough proposes, therefore, that all lands within the borough, with the exception of the village selections of surface estate under Section 12 of the Settlement Act and the assorted dual-line sites, be zoned by the borough as classified by other units of government as a wildlife range reserve, allowing as the only human activities those associated with natural resource extraction and traditional subsistence use. And we urge that all federal lands, including withdrawals under Section 17D2, 17D1, and the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska, be classified as wildlife range under conditions that protect unimpeded subsistence use and permit only tight control natural resource exploration and extraction. And we can no longer try to manage the Arctic wildlife cooperation closely with Canada. I would hope the D2 legislation finally passed would provide for an international Arctic coastal zone management program to enable required careful resource development in the Arctic. And I would hope that this international cooperation could extend into the ice offshore, for we regard the environmental security of the Beaufort Sea to be essential to the security of our subsistence culture. We will regard the D2 decision you make over the next year to be important indicators of the care we can expect in exploration and development of offshore oil and gas reserves. We are discouraged by the carelessness that has been displayed by the Dome Canmar OCS project in the Canadian Beaufort, and the failure of the United States to respond effectively to this breach in our own national Arctic environmental security safeguards. Just as the patch of land designated a game refuge is meaningless, our most careful management of the Arctic slope will be meaningless if this management is not regional, if it ends at the Canadian border, if it does not extend out into the ice. D2 legislation might be appropriate with which to mandate the State Department to negotiate with Canada for international Arctic fish and wildlife management both on and offshore. In summary, Mr. Chairman, the classification of Section 17D2 land within the North Slope Borough requires the breadth and depth of an Arctic policy which looks toward the future of the entire North American Arctic, a policy which assesses problems and seeks solutions on an Arctic regional basis, a policy which considers our neighbors can be simply administered, and which is anchored upon our Inupiat land use value. Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Chairman.
Tell me why you're crying, my son. I know you're frightened like everyone. Is it the thunder in the distance you fear? Will it help if I stay very near? I am here. And if you take my hand, my son, all will be well when the day is done. And if you take my hand, my son, all will be well when the day is done.
Day is done.
shall inherit what mankind has done. In a world filled with sorrow and woe, if you ask me why this is so, I really don't know. And if you take my hand, my son, all will be well when the day is given you. If you take my hand, my son, all will be well when the day is done.
Paul and Mary. After his testimony in a question and answer period, Eben Hobson clarified his proposal.
It minimizes the number of agencies that must take part in the management of the whole North Slope. If I have to go and deal with half a dozen different federal agencies in an effort to make proper management practices, I'm in all kinds of trouble. We've experienced that, and I think it can be repeated. So the suggestion here on our part is to, in addition to other matters which would simplify utilization for subsistence purposes, is to minimize the number of agencies that must take part in the management of the whole North Slope. I don't think we should make a choice whether we on the slope should make a choice as to who either the state or the federal government should manage. I think the long-term answer would be to build language into the bill so that the local input to management practices is actually taking part. And I think over the many years, this has been the greatest part of our problem in trying to deal with either or both of the state and the federal governments in this area. The only satisfaction that may derive from a proper management, to what we might call a proper management, would be with our participation. At the present time, the procedures are such that temporary and emergency regulations are drafted, and then they're taken to the people, and it takes 9 times out of 10, the emergency regulation, even after public hearings are made, they do become effective. And the thing we're objecting now is to have participation in the management in an area when first concepts of proper management are being advanced in any area, in any game management area. In other words, we would like to take part in suggesting how game ought to be managed in our own area.
We've been listening to testimony on D2 lands in hearings in Fairbanks on August 20th. The United States Congress has set itself a deadline of December 1978 to resolve the problem and recommend the amount of acreage to be taken by the Secretary of the Interior.
Potlatch came to you from KUAC in Fairbanks. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gave some of the money to produce this program.